Welcome to the Business Isn't Usual podcast by Right Way. This is a podcast focused on topics relevant to New Zealand business owners with a real emphasis on providing practical ideas, tips, advice on how to move their business forward, especially in these challenging times. Our guest today is Mike Stokes, who's the CEO and founder of Indicator. You can find more about Indicator at indicator.co.nz. Indicator is a sales consultancy firm that helps companies and individuals to navigate the complexities of sales and sales leadership. And to go further, I'll quote from their website. Sales and sales leadership is vital to the success of every business, yet most companies struggle to achieve anywhere near their full potential. Indicator's number one goal is to partner with our clients to have a positive impact on their sales performance. End quote. As a company, Indicator probably has the best insight into the world of sales based here in New Zealand. Mike is ideally placed to talk to us today, especially as we face these challenging times when growing revenue is going to be crucial for business success. Previously, Mike was the sales and marketing director at the Ice House, which is well known for its work with businesses and business owners. In today's conversation, we go over a range of topics. We look at how sales will change moving forward, and how we ask the question, how do you grow revenue in a recession? Plus much, much more. At the start of the conversation, we reference Indicator's yearly survey of sales leaders called The Mood of the Sales Leader. To access this, please check out the link in the show notes. I hope you enjoy this wide-ranging conversation with Mike Stokes, CEO and founder of Indicator. Mike, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Joe. Pleasure to be here.
Great to have you here in these strange times. And I thought to set the scene, I was actually reviewing The Mood of the Sales Leader yesterday. And just for all the listeners, Indicator, their third year, they've now run the survey, which they've called The Mood of the Sales Leader. It goes out to the responses were 226 sales leaders across New Zealand responded. And interestingly, I think for our listeners, which I guess is very much small business owners, 108 of those responses were from companies under 10 million. And, you know, these leaders represent 10 plus billion dollars in revenue. And the reason I thought this was a good place to start, Mike, is there was a big aspect that you talk about in that survey, which took place, I think it was about October, September, that when the responses went out, when the survey went out to people last year?
November. Yeah.
To review 2019. And I looked at the section where people were looking forward to 2020 and just to get an idea. And at that time, 77% of sales leaders were predicting growth in 2020. And I thought the biggest part was what they were going to do differently. They said 63% of respondents said they were going to sell more to existing customers. And the reason I'm saying that to you, Mike, but is what has changed for the conversations you've had with the sales leaders you've been dealing with on the last 4 weeks, we'll call it, compared to what was literally less than 6 months ago?
Well, yeah, that's it's a pretty loaded question, right, isn't it? So what I think's probably quite scary for me in terms of thinking about that Mood of the Sales Leader we released on January 30. And yeah. So it's a very, very short time ago. And I was having a look at it, you know, myself recently. And whilst we had seen a softening in each year in the last 3 years, we still had, you know, a lot of companies who were looking for growth and expecting growth. We did have a number of companies. We did have, for instance, 10%, I think it was, who were pessimistic about the year ahead. But the numbers have completely changed now. And interestingly enough, we've been with our sales syndicate members who are sales leaders, part of a program that you're aware of, Stu. And in the last day and a half, and we've run some snap polls with them, and particularly around headcount and loss of revenue or changes in revenue. What's come out of that is basically we see about 20% of companies who are actually doing pretty well. They're normally associated to the FMCG space and, you know, safety products, et cetera, you know, the essential services space. But then, you know, 70% at least were expecting significant loss in revenue. So the game has changed in a very, very short space of time. And the other thing we asked them was, you know, what's happening with your headcount? You know, who are, you know, are you likely to make maintain the same numbers and you know, reduce numbers. And it was about 30% who were looking to reduce headcount of their sales team. So yeah, it's in a very short space of time, the game has changed significantly.
And so, from the people you've been speaking to, Mike, what are they doing to try and look ahead? Because I guess for all listeners and everyone involved in this in a business sense, the unknown has been the hard part of, first of all, how long the lockdown's going to go on. We've kind of got a bit more clarity now. But then the economic impact. So how are sales leaders and how are businesses, from what you've been discussing with them, how are they actually dealing with that dilemma?
Well, I think particularly in the first week of lockdown, there was a lot of shock and people were sort of trying to understand what they should be doing, how they should be setting up their teams, how do they work remotely, what's the rhythm or the cadence we're going to get into, and what are our salespeople doing? Because, you know, the big question for a lot of people at the moment is, should we be selling? That's a question we're getting asked. You know, we're getting asked a lot. So for the first week, there was certainly getting people set up in the offices, and then more after that, it's been more a real focus about what we're gonna do when we come out of this. And I think the overwhelming understanding from most people, most sales leaders, is that we're not going to go back to what we were doing beforehand.
I
completely agree with that. I think if regardless of us, even if we're coming out completely out of lockdown or completely back to no levels whatsoever, the reality is the way that we sell will be forever different, which is daunting for many in terms of goals that they have. But for many, it's also an exciting opportunity. So I'd like to think, I mean, sales leaders, as you know, are pretty optimistic bunch. I mean, in reality, you can't be in sales unless you're optimistic, because it's a roller coaster of emotions, and you get the ups and downs. So typically, we're an optimistic bunch, and on the whole, sales leaders are like that. I think the real interesting part will come when we come out of lockdown. I think a lot of businesses are going to be particularly busy, but will there be sustained business? And
yes,
do you still have a market there? And if so, how big is it? So there's certainly still a lot of unknowns. I think without a doubt, sales leaders are hoping for the best, but potentially planning for a lot of trouble, a lot of challenge ahead. There's no doubt.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what we've seen in our industry and talking to our clients, Mike, is there's no doubt there is the obvious industries that have that direct impact now, which is the tourism and hospo sector, where they've been probably the hardest hit. But there is also people like the construction sector, which is obviously going back, you know, next week, where they've got projects on. But the question for them is, well, is the pipeline as full as I think it's going to be? And for how long, when do I need to start planning? And I think that's very, you know, relevant for any business owner or a sales leader, is the sense of the pipeline that you might have locked in for. Maybe it's 2 months, maybe it's 3 months, but this thing's not going to turn around in a quarter, is it? So I guess if we go into a bit of the detail, Mike, now, if you're talking to a business owner now, or you're talking to a sales leader, what is the practical or advice you would be giving them on a few things they should be starting to think about this new world that we're going to be moving into, which is, one, challenging from a communication and how we might have even sold, but also the fact we are selling in a tighter economy?
Well, I think firstly, one of the things to get across to people is, now is not the time to be quiet. So meaning that more so than ever, there is an opportunity to build relationships and clients for life. So we're hearing from some, I was with a sales team recently who said, oh no, we haven't even spoken to our clients. And which is completely the wrong thought process. So firstly, we need to be engaging with our clients, being respectful, but not engaging with our sales hat on. So as all good salespeople know, that the way to be great at your role is to be looking at how you can add value to your customers. So the mindset really needs to be completely focused on that. And our encouragement would be in the first instance, have as many conversations as you can. Have a lot of conversations you can with either, particularly your clients, but also your potential prospects. But lead with a conversation. You know, it's all about leading with a conversation as opposed to looking for an opportunity for yourself. So take the business side out of it and focus on the human side, I think is very, very important in the first instance. In the second instance, one of the things that, you know, you mentioned from the mood of the sales leader, the three things that we suggested, which were very, very important for all sales leaders and salespeople to think about for 2020, were firstly, you know, how do you stand out, you know, from your competitors? Because competition was your number one. What technology are you going to utilize to advance your reach and your customer experience with dealing with companies? And the other one was particularly around how we sell is almost more important than what we sell. And I would turn those around a little bit to say that technology is going to be absolutely at the forefront of how we change the way that we sell. So technology to me would be absolutely vital. Be clear on your sales methodology. So what is it that you want your sales team, you know, how are they approaching the clients? Is it there to add value? Is it there to build relationships? You know, is it consultative selling? What is it? And I think if you focus firstly on the human side and then focus entirely on what their needs and goals are, you'll set yourself up pretty well. And then thinking about it from a sales perspective, typically in New Zealand we're a very face-to-face orientated sales team, and we have a huge amount of salespeople who are field salespeople who are running around the country in cars, driving, you know, doing thousands of kilometers a month. I think it's important to recognize that those outside salespeople are now going to need to adapt. I think regardless of what happens, the amount of face-to-face time as a salesperson you have will be reduced. We're all using Zoom, we're using Skype, we're using Teams, we're using it to great effect. And I think a lot of companies are recognizing that regardless what happens, the additional value you get in the vast majority of times being face-to-face can also be outweighed by the productivity you increase by using technology. And I think that's an exciting. So I think it's more of a blended approach, Stu, that we're going to be seeing from a sales perspective. And I think it's pretty exciting. I think the technology will be a very, very key part. Companies need to have a CRM. I'm sorry, if you're dealing with a range of customers, you're going to need a CRM. You're going to need your CRM to be connected to your email. If you look at CRM, still their biggest competitor is Excel. You don't get the functionality that a lot of CRMs will give you these days. And you know, I know you're a fan of HubSpot, and we use HubSpot as well. The likes of HubSpot, Marketo, Pardot, all those automation tools, the apex between sales and marketing is just going to be massive. And so how you utilize those tools to communicate with your customers, to understand who's engaging with you, who's ready to hear from you, is going to be massive in the future.
I think that's an interesting point, Mike, and I think it'd be good to get your thoughts on this further, because you're right. Technology is going to be playing a huge part in the first instance, which is this removal of that going out to multiple clients, doing your daily route round, whatever clients it would be, where we're using more technology and utilizing CRM. But there is also this aspect of the link between sales and marketing and the importance that is going to play now. In one, you know, we've seen this in our business, you know, the amount of information that the government's been releasing in a very short period of time, which is significant, we have to keep our clients informed of what that means for them as a business owner. How does this affect me? It's a very fast moving beast that we've never seen actually before. So communication from our marketing team to our customers, and we've done that to prospects, has been really important. And from that, we've actually got prospects to come and say, hey, we're keen to engage you guys as a service. But how do companies who, one, have been maybe field-based and face-to-face, make that shift from a technology point, but also that marketing shift? Because marketing and sales are one team now, aren't they? They are intertwined in that relationship. And how do you suggest business owners, sales leaders start to embrace that challenge? Because they can't go and sell like we used to, and that importance of marketing for communications is vitally important.
Mm. Yeah, well, for a lot of companies, it's not going to be easy. So I think the first thing to think of your connection between sales and marketing is ultimately you're providing a great customer experience from generation of a lead right through to engaging customers as a client. It's the whole journey. So the sales process is really from that point, lead generation, right to the end. And so you're absolutely right. You know, we should be thinking of our sales and marketing as one unit, which has always been pretty hard, as we know, because sales and marketing are like oil and water often, because they butt heads and they have different views on a lot of things. But we need to be thinking of them as the revenue department these days. And you do see that, we see that more and more, particularly in overseas, that that sales and marketing might be led by a chief revenue officer, and beneath the chief revenue officer could be a head of sales and a head of marketing. I think the really key part with the marketing automation is about creating that really good balance between online and offline. And it's almost how do you make that connection between technology that looks like it's personalized and human and so forth, and then the human side of it as well. So the human side won't go, but online may steal a piece of the process from them, slightly more process from them. I'm no technology or technology expert, but have a think about how you want to communicate to your customers and use technology as an enabler, not use technology to change the way that you run your sales process. But I just see those automation tools as gaining more and more strength.
And we actually just last week recorded a podcast which is coming out soon, a guy called Ron McDonald from Fint, and he's about systems and processes. And he was talking about the idea that the way that technology can help people really challenge their businesses, especially at this time, is how do you let technology do some of that lower level work so that your people are focusing on the higher value activities? And I think that's very adapt in sales, isn't it? Focusing on the high value activities is a similar sort of message.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's bang on. That is absolutely the right message. Mm.
I think a bit of a segue from that communication point there, Mike, and how we're communicating is we've had a few of our episodes in the podcast, and there's been a strong theme that this has given business owners time to reflect in this lockdown of what have they been doing previously? How do they do things smarter? What is it that they've always wanted to change? And I guess some of that change has come because it's been put upon us. Mm. One of the things we wanted to talk about was ideal client profiles. And I guess I think linked to that sales mood of the sales leader. I thought it was interesting that one of the things that came out at the start of the year, that report, that what are people going to do differently to achieve their targets and growth, was sell more to existing customers, which now seems a bit of a daunting thing. So thinking about that, and also, what we talked about communication, what do you mean by ideal client profile, and why do you think this is so important right now?
Yeah, well, I think it's always been important. It doesn't matter whether it's now or pre-COVID, but understanding who your ideal customers are is absolutely key to any particularly B2B organization. And So when you think of your ideal customer profile, think of there's a number of ways that might help you decide whether they are in your ideal customer, and often that answer is in your database or in your accounting package, or you know, in terms of revenue wise already, but yeah. Never solely focus on revenue, because you'll be missing opportunities. But when you think of your ideal customer, think about the fit. So, you know, what is the right industry that they're in, that we're playing in, that we can support? What is the perfect size company that we like? And for some companies, that might be we love enterprise. You know, we enjoy the big deals. For many others, and I suspect for many of your customers, it'll be varied, I'm sure. But you know, small to mediums might be a much easier place to play and a much better place to play. But there's also, you know, of course, product fit and service fit. And the other thing that I think is really, really important that is often forgotten about in your ideal customer profile is cultural fit. So cultural fit is how well you get on with this company, you know, with your clients. Do they trust you? Do you trust them? Do you work with them well? Is it an organization that you want to see do well? I think that's always a really important part. So the key thing around now, however, is that with so many companies going through massive turmoil and we're all having to adapt and change, it's really important to take a look at your customers now and go, right, well, who's the horse that we should be backing right now?
Yeah.
You know, and in the cold light of day, there will be some organizations, as we know, that will go out of business. And, you know, with your purely commercial hat on, that's perhaps a company that you're not going to continue to grow with in the years ahead. So also there, you know, you've got to understand, do your products or your services align with what they need? So spending a bit of time to almost navel gaze as to where each of your top clients are going, and then understanding if you fit with them and fit with that is a really, really important thing, because we all have only so much resource at the moment, and every customer is not created equal. You should really focus on you know, and a pretty simple way to do that is, who are your A, B, and C clients, and recognize that your A's should get what we call a brick wall around them. So, you know, a brick wall stating that you're defending and developing these customers. You know, they get more of your attention than your B's or your C's. And we all know the Pareto principle, which the 80-20 rule, which is incredible in so many companies. It is just how this is so correct, isn't it? That 80% of your revenue comes from 20% of your clients. And then if you even drill down further on the top 20% of your 20%, then you know, the top 4%, then that's another huge lift. So it's almost like when you're starting out a business again. We've got to look at the landscape as almost like a startup to say, who are the companies we should be spending our most time with? So I'd highly encourage businesses to be spending time around that.
And I think that could also, I think, Mike, be quite confronting for a lot of clients, because some of what have been A clients, for example, if you're selling to the hospitality sector, you're going to be like, that's a challenging environment. But not only that, there is going to be A clients that you have had for donkey's years potentially, but budgets are going to get smaller. The spend they could have with you is smaller, and also potentially more hoops for buying decisions might be put in place and more stringent measures. So if you were talking to business owners, sales leaders at the moment, knowing that the buying process is going to have more hurdles, it's going to have less dollars, where is it would you be spending time with your sales team to make sure they're ready for that challenge?
Yeah, well, the pie for many industries have got smaller, hasn't it? So it will get smaller for some time. And, you know, I think sales and marketing people have a really important role to play in getting the economy back and running, without doubt. You know, they need to be sending the right messages. We all need to be buying and selling, and sales and marketing people need to be helping to facilitate that. And so the biggest hurdle we often get, as you know, Stu, is the no decision. So, you know, we need to be ready for that. And there will be, without doubt, more objections to people purchasing or companies purchasing in the months ahead because of this, you know, people are unsure about, nervous about investing at this time and so forth. But as a country, that's the last thing we need. We need growth. We need, the number one thing businesses need right now, and I'm sure it's the same for all your listeners, is they need revenue. They need revenue to be able to pay their staff and keep their, you know, keep their business safe. So all of those things we need to be preparing our staff for, and understanding. I think a great session for all companies to do is, where is it that we truly add value? You know, where is it that we truly add value to companies? Who are those companies that we most add the value to? And how do we help improve what they're doing and communicate to them, plus looking at every step of the sales process and saying, well, what's different now? What is different? What are some of the objections that we may now get that we didn't get before? Let's put them up on the whiteboard and work our ways through it. And when we say, you know, a lot of people might say that, you know, working on objections is almost disingenuous, but ultimately, it's actually one of the key things for us as salespeople to get across is how can we help customers? Yeah. You know, how can we get them through? How can we give them the faith that they should be purchasing from us and buying from us? So developing your team is absolutely key at the moment. I think a lot of sales teams are sitting out there at the moment going, what are we doing? You know, what are we doing? And I have to admit, actually, a marketing person said this to us when we were in this phase of just going into lockdown. She said to me, "What should I be communicating at the moment?" And I was at that principal point in time, I wasn't sure. Sure. This was pretty unique. So it took me a few days to sort of come up with that strategy. And I think a lot of salespeople will be sitting there thinking the same thing.
And I think it's important, I think, for everyone to think when an objection comes, it's a question. That's all it is from a buyer. It's they've got to just clarify, get right in their head. And those objections are going to be, as you said, Mike, we're going to get more of them just because people are more cautious with the funds that they're responsible for, whether it's as a business owner buying or the department that they look after. I think just picking up on your point there on the challenging nature of managing the team in some ways and just some of the things we've faced, how do you because working from home for us now is going to, you know, we will come out of this, we hope, soon, but you know, the next few weeks we're definitely most people will be working from home still, and a good portion of industries. How, for sales leaders, is what is the cadence of what they should maybe doing about how they manage their team when sales is about sometimes feeding off the group, learning off each other, you know, that camaraderie that you kind of get from sales teams, I guess. So what was your suggestions for people that are now managing their sales teams remotely? How do they do that? Because the I guess the bad side of this is when things are tougher for salespeople, them sitting at home stewing on it is not the best thing in the world. So how would you, I guess, get sales leaders prepared to change how they manage?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing to recognize, regardless of the situation, is when you're managing remote salespeople, because a lot of people are, regardless, there is plenty of information out there that you need to be spending up to four times as much of your time with them so that they feel connected to the business and connected to your team, which is an incredible amount. So the first thing to think about is you know, managing your team remotely, other than all the typical technology and so forth, is to absolutely get into that cadence and rhythm. I'm a big fan of short and often to keep the team engaged. I think one of the biggest challenges of managing your team remotely is that when we're in an office, you can view social cues a lot more yes. easily. So you can understand, because sales is not just about skill, it is about the whole person, you know, because it's very hard to sell. It's very hard to be driven and motivated if you're in a, you know, a low ebb. And so one of the biggest challenges that sales leaders have, without doubt, from a remote point of perspective, is to understand actually what how is their team going? You know, how are they feeling? Are they stressed? Are they handling things well? And quite often when you ask one of those questions, you may get an answer that doesn't actually truly indicate. So that is one of the hardest things, is to be empathetic with your team when you're in a remote environment. But I tell you what, I think what I'm really enjoying, I've been a user of Zoom for a few years. But there is, you know, and there's plenty of other platforms that do that. There are some very, very cool features of these online tools, these online platforms, you know, from polling, large numbers of people in the room to breakout groups to lots of different ways that you can. I don't think your engagement isn't as good, without doubt.
Yeah.
But it's pretty good, and I'm sure it'll only get better. But I think that's the biggest thing, is getting that rhythm, getting that short, sharp, and often in my mind, and having this, you know, checking up on your people regularly and actually making sure they're 100% sure on what they should be doing. Because a lot of people in the sales space will be going at the moment, what should I be doing? Should I be talking to people? Should I be, pushing hard for online meetings? What should I be doing? So the absolute key is the communication.
Cool. Mike, I think that's all the points from me. I guess any things we've missed?
Oh, I'm sure we have. I'm sure we have. I'm sure there's plenty. I think one of the things that I think will be very interesting, and maybe this is even a question back to you, is the working environment in the next few months. I think it really interesting to me is, will companies come out of this and recognize, do we still need that office? And if so, what does that look like? So will more people be working from home? Do we come into the office all the time? Do we only come in once a week? I think that's going to be the really, really interesting piece that will come out of this.
Yeah, I think the overarching conversation for all clients, whether the industry they're in or situation they're in, is we've got to prepare for a different world. And that is in many, many different ways. But there is no doubt that I know there's some of our staff who hate working from home, and that's mainly because they've got a bunch of kids screaming in the background and they're like, I want to get rid of that. But there's others that this will work for them long term. And so I guess the view of what staff are expecting maybe may change. And I think, as you said, Mike, look, budgets are tighter. So if people have gone, hey, we've been able to work as an organization for a whole nearly 2 months from home, it does really question, well, hey, we're spending a bunch of money on a lease, what are we getting out of this? So does that mean we've got more movement into shared spaces where there's still places where you can congregate as a team for a team meeting once a week, whatever it is? But you know what I mean? Like, I think there's going to be a massive change in that and the way we work, and also our expectation for our customers. Because I think what the online space is doing is, we've had it in our business that a lot of our advisory sessions with our customers used to be face-to-face, but we can't do that. So customers are kind of getting trained in this way along with us as advisors or salespeople. So what might have been foreign and not looked at as the way to do things previously will become second nature because we've all been doing it for 2 months. So I think it's no doubt that we are in it's going to be a very interesting 12 to 24 months of what we go through. And I think the structure and how we deliver products, how we work through the sales process, whatever it is, will change for customers. And I think the ones that don't change are probably the ones that get caught out, brutally honest.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd agree with the ones that can't see that, you know, that try to do what they were doing beforehand in the months ahead, I think will really suffer and potentially fail. I think there is a, you know, there is a lot of potential opportunity that can be quite exciting that could come out of this. One of the interesting things I think from a sales perspective is how people structure their sales teams. So
yeah,
in the past, you know, a lot of sales teams, as an example, were structured territory and geography based. And you know that we now have an opportunity to relook at that, and all companies should be relooking at that to decide.
Yeah.
You know, simply because a person is close to a company, are they the ones that should look after them? But there is a lot of different ways you can restructure your sales team. So, you know, you can restructure, of course, by specialties, you know, product or service understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Structure them by how knowledgeable they are in a particular industry, or even personas, you know, how well they get on with a particular type of person, or how well they engage with a particular type of person. So how the sales teams will be structured will be a very interesting outcome. And I think if we use the US as an example, we've typically had you know, in New Zealand, the sales teams are typically BDMs or account managers. And more often than not, they're a bit of both, with, you know, 80% of the time being account management and 20% being BDM. Well, that's their expectation anyway. And in the US, you know, in terms of the different sales processes, will be often controlled by different roles, you know, sales development reps, account executives, account managers, you know, inbound inside salespeople, even from a marketing perspective as well before that. So I think watch this space.
I think, Mike, maybe we might need to do another episode in 3 to 6 months' time and just see what the changes have been once we're out, because I think you're right. And I think you can probably look at that in two ways. As one, a lot of companies who've had offices in all locations, so they've got a sales team there to service that local client. Well, that's changed. And there'll be a bunch of customers that might be in one location who go, well, I can now talk to customers and it's okay that I'm in Christchurch but deal with Auckland or whatever. So there's people that'll be challenged by this, but there'll be a bunch that see this as a massive opportunity to get into new customers because of the way we can service people now. So I think that's about it, Mike. We'll leave it there. Thanks very much for your time and taking time out to speak to on the podcast.
Pleasure, Stu. Nice to see you. Thanks for having me. Good luck.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Business Isn't Usual podcast by Rightway. If you want to find out more information about Rightway, simply go to www.rightway.co.nz. If you want to subscribe, please do that on the platform that you're listening to this podcast. And while you're there, please feel free to give us a review. If you want to keep up to date with other information from Rightway, check out the Rightway Business Hub Facebook group, where there's ongoing information posted weekly. Also, check out all our other social media channels for all the updates from Rightway.